Greetings, everyone. We're back and live on live stream and just returning from months of traveling, and happy to be back and at your service. So today we decided to start our broadcasting service. Any questions, comments, suggestions, we appreciate them. Please write to us. Contact the team here. And we have several questions here waiting from Hungary today. So we'll get right to the questions. And please tell us the first one.
Okay. The first one for today is a local question.
Okay.
From Nalina. Why do we need to purify our mind? Why this is important? It's in general question and addition to the question. If the mind is purified only by the sincere association with the sadhu, and what can we do if we cannot associate sincerely with the sadhu? Mm-hmm.
Well, if we sincerely want to be devotees, we want to become spiritual, there's something required from our side, some self-development, some evolution of consciousness, some purification must take place within us. We must go from the material to the spiritual. That requires purification of mind, of consciousness. So that is achieved on the path of bhakti, practicing bhakti yoga. And one of the most important parts of the practice is to serve the sadhus, stay in the association of saints, and chant the holy names in their association with a service mood. And not just stay with the sadhu and be with the sadhu, and like many insects, can stay with the sadhu, be with the sadhu, end up biting, disturbing the sadhu. Not like that. We have to stay with the sadhus, the saints, in a service-oriented way, pleasing them, following their guidelines, instructions. So we become sincere in a substantial way by their grace. So it's not just a physical thing, being in the association of sadhus and saints. It involves heart and service, surrender. Then it can become something progressive and positive, fruitful, pleasing the sadhus. So no doubt some sincerity must be there in the background anyway to bring us to this position, but we need to begin a service connection and keep true to our ideals and maintain a service, sincere service mood throughout. And no doubt we find in our attempts so many obstacles and tests may come to us when we come and we come in touch with the saints and the devotees and begin a service life. What brought us to this position, we must maintain that intention only for service, only for devotion, only for the pleasure of Guru and Gauranga. But in this attempt, we will be tested. Kanak, Kamini, Pratishta, different temptations will come in our front, and we'll have to face these things. And that's the test. the tests that come to test our sincerity. Are we really here for the right reasons? Did we come for service? Are we really sincere? Or will money, will man for woman, woman for man, or whatever persuasion one might be, wherever their attraction may be, will that take us away from their lotus feet and pratishta? Will that tempt us, and will we be caught in the snare of pratishta? This will come and test us. And if we're sincere, we'll make it through and we'll keep our original intentions, and only for service, only for Krishna. And in this way, the fire will come to test us, and if we can come through the other side, then we can feel we've achieved something great. We've come for the right reasons, we're still in it for the right reasons, and we'll come out for the right reason. So it's a battlefield, a spiritual journey. It takes courage and strength and good intentions, sincerity. So that's what's necessary. And the last part about the sadhu, what was that last part?
Last part was just the question that if we cannot associate with the sadhu sincerely, how can we progress to make this sincerity in us?
Yeah, it can come by their grace. We need to attain the grace of the saint, of the sadhu, of the devotees. Please them. Then they'll grace us with the ability to serve and associate with them sincerely. Okay.
Next question.
Yes.
Is from Hungary, from a very sincere and sweet devotee. She's not so long time a devotee. And she observed that when she sings anything, she has no problems. But when she starts to sing any kind of kirtan or devotional songs, she starts to cry, and she don't want to, but it's just happening, even if she is in the car or in the program, anywhere, and she cannot stop it. But she would like to stop it, and she would like to know why this happening.
Yeah, well, I can't exactly say why it's happening. And she's coming in touch with something superior. It's not ordinary music. This is transcendental sound vibration. Names of Krishna, names of Radharani, Nityananda Prabhu, Mahaprabhu, we're singing these names, and it's transcendental. And we hope it will have some penetrating effect on us when we sing and we chant their names. So we're dealing with the whole another level. And it can be touching her heart, penetrating the layers and touching her heart. We would like to think like that. And on the cautionary side, we know that there's a world of difference between emotion and devotion. So we're mindful about that. And that's the safest position for us, to think, I'm just being emotional. This is not devotional sentiment. Better for us as new devotees, as new practitioners, to think that way. I'm just being emotional and I gotta get over it. That would be my suggestion, to think like that. But to know we're dealing with something higher. This is transcendental sound vibration. It's not music, mundane music. It's not mundane sound vibration. So there's hope and power and blessings that come with this, and we practice and become perfect. Better to go on singing, and just in time everything will be well adjusted by grace from above. So she can think, maybe I'm being emotional. I'm a newcomer. How can I feel these transcendental sentiments? That's the best way to think for a new devotee. No doubt I don't know her and know her situation. Nothing's impossible, but that would be the better way to think and proceed. Okay. Next question
is from Govindanandini Didi from USA. I read the whole. Perfectionism can be a good thing in terms of our desiring to make things as beautiful as proper as possible when serving. But when it causes one to be so afraid of making a mistake or committing some wrong that we end up doing nothing, it can get the way out of our service. How can we overcome this paralyzing fear of making mistakes and being criticized, chastised, and disappointing those we are trying to serve?
Well, I think it's easier said than done. Easy for me to give advice, but to put it into practice, I think, takes endurance and patience and a trying mood. And thankfully, we're dealing with merciful devotees, the merciful Lord, merciful Guru. They will forgive us if we're doing something wrong, especially if we're trying to do it right and we're putting all our energy and effort into doing service to please them. They will excuse any offense or mistake on the way. So really it takes a trying mood. Keep trying, and maybe I failed today, but I'll do better tomorrow, and give all our focus and our attention into serving them properly. So every day is a new day. Wake up and try again, and don't give up. And fear can be an obstacle, no doubt, and it's unnecessary. When we're dealing with mercy, we don't have to be so fearful. We can think, have confidence. The Lord, our Guru and Gauranga, the Vaishnavas, they're kind, they're benevolent, they're magnanimous, they're merciful. Then don't be afraid. Go forward. If you know who you're serving, then the fear will be dispelled. If we were dealing with the plane of justice, then maybe we should be fearful. I will be judged, how I'm operating, how I'm behaving, how I'm acting, how I'm serving, the results, everything will be calculated. But we're not dealing with the plane of justice. We're dealing with the plane of mercy, which is above justice. So we can be fearless. And if it's easier said than done, then just try. try to believe it, and you'll see for yourself in time. Everything will be revealed. Everything will be well adjusted. So, just do it. Go for it. That's my advice.
And she had a second question also. Often I feel lonely when I am myself and feel the need to constantly try to fill this void with socialization, just to be distracted from the silence of solitude. However, this constant socialization can get in the way of service, even if the conversation is about spiritual subjects. We are also told that the connection with Guru is not physical, but a heart connection, so we are never truly alone. How can we deepen our connection with our Guru, remember that he is always right there with us, and being to feel this presence inside of our hearts while serving?
Mm-hmm. Well, we can understand Chetra, Guru, is living in the heart. He's living in all of our hearts and witnessing all our activities, accompanying us, and having faith in that. Also, additional, we have our merciful divine spiritual masters, and we have their connection. They're always protecting us. There's that. And when we are living with devotees like Govindanandini's, living in a temple, living with Mahaprabhu, then she's completely surrounded by well-wishing guardians always. So through progress, she will understand this. Just persevere on the path. Go forward in your service, and you'll see for yourself that you're well protected, you're in good company, and our guardian's watchful eye is always above you, living in your heart. And that's something that comes, that understanding comes through progress in Krishna consciousness. And if we need blind faith in the beginning, then so be it. Blind faith is better than no faith. Blind faith can turn into real faith proper. So believe it blindly if you don't believe it now with some concrete evidence. Just be blind about it, and then you'll see for yourself more substantial than concrete. Spiritual understanding and realization is brighter than the sun, and that will reveal in your heart. So we just sometimes takes everything we have to just go forward and have faith and confidence. Give it all you have and see for yourself as you make progress. And the Lord will help us, the devotees will help us, our gurus will help us. Guru within, guru without. They're both there. And they will reveal everything to us when the time is right, when we are ready, when we are sincere. So my suggestion would be to, if necessary, blindly follow. That's not okay for the rest of your life. We don't want to be blind for the rest of our lives. But if it's necessary for now to keep me going until I can come in touch with the real thing, the real faith proper will descend in the heart. Then we'll see it for ourselves, and we'll be glad we believed it blindly. At least it kept us in touch, kept us connected, kept us serving, and it turned into something real. So that's a good thing. Better to go on like that. Okay.
Next question was, while we were reading a few days ago in the mornings Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam, and after describing all the Vishnu forms, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami started to describe the Krishna and his forms. And there in a part it says that he has a shark
earrings.
Yes, shark earrings. And someone asked, why shark and what's the connection between Krishna and this sweetest form and the shark? And also a question that in other places, like in Brahma Sanhita, it says Gunja Vatamsa, Gunja berry earrings. And I know these are details and we are not qualified to understand them, but somehow it's, if you could just give some explanation about
the easiest explanation is that he likes it that way. He wants to wear shark shaped earrings. Mm-hmm. He wants to wear gunjamala. Mm-hmm. He likes it. And of all the shark, of all the aquatics, he's the shark. Mm-hmm. So there's some reference in Bhagavad Gita. But he's a whimsical lord. And by his whim, everything's going on. Everything is the way it is for himself, by himself, for his own purpose, to satisfy his own purpose. So everything is the way it is by his divine will. Not a blade of grass moves without his sanction. Then, if he wants to wear shark-shaped earrings, so be it. It's his divine whimsical or whamsical will. Srila Sridhar said, whimsical or whamsical? The Lord, that word doesn't exist actually. Whamsical is a word he invented. If the Lord wants to invent something out of his own sweet whimsical will, so be it. So that's a simple way to answer. Why he wears yellow cloth, why he prefers a peacock feather in his hair, not a dove feather or a sparrow feather. He likes it that way. Why he walks in a certain way reminds one of a baby elephant, the way he walks. Why? Well, what if he wanted to walk like a baby rhinoceros? That would be his will, wouldn't it? Everything's very detailed. His glances, he's famous for his sidelong glances, looking out of the side of his eyes, looking up and down at his lovers and his friends and associates. His lips, cherry red like bimba fruit. His eyes like stars. Restless eyes moving with full of love. His hair is a certain way. Plays the flute. Why the flute? Why not the violin? He wants to play the flute. That's his favorite companion. Nowhere will you find outside of this conception such specific detail in the Supreme Personality's preferences, his likes, his ways, his appearance. Krishna conception is full-fledged and it's full of detail and it's transcendental, it's authoritative, it's real, it's substantial. It's a living thing and we're so fortunate to come in touch with it. It's revealing down to us. So everything's existing by his divine whim. That's my answer. Sometimes there's many ways to answer things, but I know a little bit, so I'm answering in a simple way. Do we have any other questions?
Not really a half one, but maybe next time.
You can try.
Okay. It's also from Hungary, and it's related to Bhagavad Gita. And which chapter? Chapter 13, verse 21, and we just could not understand, but maybe because it lost somewhere in translation. If I can read the verse, or you can read the verse, and
you can just read the translation.
Okay, and try to explain us what it says. In the matter of creation, the material energy is responsible for cause and effect. In the matter of experiencing happiness and distress, the individual consciousness is declared responsible. And it's just, we could not understand what responsible is, who is responsible for what?
For our happiness and our distress?
Yes.
Here it's saying that the individual soul is responsible, isn't it? It's according to our karma. Mm-hmm. And no doubt we're influenced by the modes of nature. We're embodied souls in this material world. We're subjected to the threefold miseries, subjected to so many things. But we experience so many dualities as embodied souls. And we also are dealing with our previous karma, which we are fully responsible for, fully liable for all our previous activities and suffering as a result. So I think that's what is being referred to here, that it's our responsibility. And we're suffering according to our actions, our previous actions.
And when it refers to material energy, what's its name? Like Maya or the modes of nature?
Material energy is generally Maya, considered Maya. She's responsible. That's her duty to manage material energy. She has a personified form, material energy personified, that is Maya Devi. It's also understood to be the external energy of the Lord. Any other questions from anybody?
Once it was mentioned, I think maybe by Goswami Maharaj, that as you are progressing, then you must take some more exclusive shelter from your Gurudev, or it sounded like this. So could you please explain what does it mean, like more exclusive shelter, this expression?
Mm-hmm. I think what he means is when you're not in such a generic position in your spiritual life, you've come to receive the holy name and devotee association, service life. General advice is given for everyone that applies to everyone. All the teachings and the practices are good for everyone. It's general knowledge, and there's so much basic information available, so many guidelines, the teachings of the Gita, Mahaprabhu's Shikshastika. So many things we can come in touch with when we are new and approaching Krishna consciousness. There's a wealth of teachings and understanding and knowledge. But when someone starts becoming more exclusively dedicated and progressing and needing more specific guidance that would be suited for them according to their mentality, their position, their adhikar, their Vaishnavata, then maybe some specific guidelines, specific guidance and advice is necessary. So I think that's what he's referring to, that when you're no longer in a general category, you're coming out into the madhyam stage, the middle stage, more specific advice may be needed for progress, for continuation. So many stages to cross, and as one becomes more and more exclusively dedicated, more advice and more guidelines are necessary. I think from general to specific is the idea. No longer general things that can be applied to everyone are applicable for someone who's more exclusively dedicated and has progressed out of a neophyte Kanishta stage. So that's why we also have Shiksha Gurus. That can mean many, not just one. Our senior God brothers, God sisters, they can be our Shiksha Gurus. Give us advice, go this way, do like this, you'll find success going this way and fine-tuning, getting more specific, more detailed. I think that's what he means. Generic Krishna consciousness can appeal to the masses and can be presented to newcomers, new devotees, neophytes. But if someone progresses out of that generic stage and starts developing and evolving and flourishing in spiritual life, crossing all these different stages, guidance is always necessary along the way. So more exclusive guidance may be required as one becomes more exclusive. Okay. Do you have another one?
And also, I heard from one devotee that when he comes into connection with higher Vaishnavas, he feels himself worse than he is, and like all the disadvantages and bad features of his character, it just comes out. And also, we spoke before that sometimes you feel even worse than you were before when you started your so-called spiritual life. So why does it happen so that when we get a higher association, we sometimes feel ourselves worse than we are? Do we really become worse, or it was all in us already, and then just why wasn't it like revealed before when we led our normal lives?
I understand. Well, everything really depends on the person, doesn't it? And it is possible we can become worse, and that's if we're making offense. Mainly making offense would make us worse. But one symptom of a progressive devotee is that they're becoming humble, and they're also coming in touch with reality and coming to understand how small they are, how insignificant they are. And they can start to self-analyze and assess their own intentions and consciousness, mentality, all the different things within us will become visible, and that can be overwhelming. You can feel like, wow, I'm just like full of demons and inauspicious things. They were there before, you just didn't know it. Now you're getting some perspective, coming in touch with reality, making some progress and seeing what is there, what is living within us. And it's like the sun shining. The sun comes out and reveals everything. In the dark, we cannot see all the dust and all the little things hiding in the background or even in the foreground. But when the sun is shining, when the light is on, everything becomes visible. So when the Krishna sun illumines, we can see so many things. So many things within us, and I personally have experienced ways of dealing with these things need outlets. We need to find an outlet for all the different things within us, good and bad. Good things and bad things, they all need to be directed somewhere and put to use. They need to be purified and utilized, channeled into service. Then we'll become free. And one good way of directing all these things, we can preach. We can channel all our stuff into service and preaching. Put it all into service, engage yourself fully, and all these things will find an outlet and become purified, well-adjusted, utilized for a higher purpose. So, it's an art, it's yoga. Practicing bhakti yoga, how to fully be utilized and purified. Learning how to do all these things, it comes through progress on the path. And after some time we'll realize we don't need to be afraid of all these things within us. There's lust, anger, greed, hatred, madness, envy. We need to engage all these things, submerge them in Krishna conscious life, and they become purified, they become utilized, transformed into something auspicious and beautiful. We won't need to fear for all the things within us. So, it's something maybe at first we don't notice, and then as we make progress, we get to a more intermediate position. Or the next level, we have so many things to deal with within us, and it's overwhelming. The best thing we can do is find outlets, service-oriented outlets for these things. If you're an artist, put it into your art. If you're a musician, put it into your music. If you're a preacher, put it into your preaching. And we have to be real and genuine. This is not a show. We're not actors and actresses. This is not a fake thing we want to show anyone. When we preach, we can be real, be ourselves, whoever we are. Don't try to be someone else. Goswami Maharaj always says that to the other sannyasis. You be you, I'll be me. Don't try to be me. Imagine if we tried to be Goswami Maharaj, sit here in the cameras. We'd make a fool out of ourselves. We have to be who we are. Maybe we don't know so much. Maybe we're still so neophyte. But whatever our guru has given us, whatever we know in our heart, we really appreciate. We try to share that. And that will be most appreciated and well received by people. Self-expression, directing it into spiritual life, into our service lives. There are many different types of outlets for all the different things within us. So if we're sincerely trying, Krishna and Guru and the devotees will help us. The main thing is, don't be afraid when you see all the dust and all the dirt and all the demons living in our hearts. Everything will be purified and well adjusted in time. Okay. Maybe one last question from anyone?
Actually, firstly, we wanted to ask you how was your tour, but now maybe just a short thing. It was said that why does the guru need the disciples? It's like a calf and a cow. So when the calf comes and asks for milk, the cow releases the flow. So and the guru also gives the knowledge and something to his disciples in this way. So while you were traveling, touring Russia and Europe, and so many new people asked you new questions, probably, or maybe all the same, but for another person's. Do such tours help you to develop as well as you give something to these people?
For sure. When we preach and distribute our guru's message, try to represent his teachings and share with everyone, and travel, meeting new people, it's a very fortunate position for us. We're being utilized and we're being made into instruments for distribution, for preaching, for extending awareness and Krishna consciousness to others. We have to see it that way, that I'm an instrument. I'm being utilized for this purpose, this higher purpose, and I'm so fortunate. And the more we can empty ourselves of our own misunderstandings and fill ourselves with our guru's message and concentrate on that, the more we will be benefited. So these opportunities are good for us and good for others. We're being engaged in service, and no doubt sometimes it's intense, traveling and festival after festival, lecture after lecture. So many times sitting down in front of a large group of people and having nothing to say, but having to think of something to say. Because I like to listen. I'm more of a listener than a speaker. But for some divine dispensation reason, I'm put into this position, and feeling that I must be an instrument, I must be utilized in the way divine will wishes. So trying to, in that situation when you're sitting in front of a large group of people, cameras and lights on, and having to share and say something about Krishna consciousness. That time we have to put our egos and our feelings aside and just be utilized. Pray that some divine flow will come and bring about some Krishna consciousness in others. And the less ego we have, the more chances that it can happen in a real way. Being a real instrument in a real way can happen as the ego is suppressed. The divine will is invited to come and flow through us. Also, it helps getting questions. Often I would take questions immediately, and then some, and knowing what the people want, what others are needing, can give attention to that, and then some flow takes place. So it was a wonderful opportunity, and so many sincere souls, new friends, newcomers, knocking at our door and needing so much attention and nourishment, especially in places like the Ukraine and Russia, where Krishna consciousness is so new and there's so much eagerness for it. You're happy to give everything you have, and then you think you've given everything you have, then something more comes through just to supply the needs of others. It's a wonderful thing. And it brings so much energy and inspiration and strength. We forget ourselves and our egos, and we're being fully utilized and engaged. So we especially thank Srila Avadhut Maharaj for this opportunity, inviting us, utilizing us, engaging us, and without his mercy and his grace and his guidance, we wouldn't have such great fortune like this. We wouldn't have such service opportunities. And so thanks is never enough. It's never sufficient to thank him for our service opportunities. We're so in debt, it's not even funny. In debt to Srila Avadhut Maharaj, and happy to be his servitor and follow his instructions and guidance. Jai Srila Bhakti Vimal Avadhut Maharaj ki Jai.